to welcome me. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his blood I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the Prince of the Living is hand. Oh, the song thrilling rapture when I view the blessed face, and the luster of his kindly beaming eyes. How my heart will the mercy, love, and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his blood I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the Prince of the Living is hand. Number 4, through the gate to the city in a robe of spotless white, he will lead, the tears will ever flow. In the grass on the fringes shall mingle with delight, but I long to meet Savior first of all. I shall know him, I shall know him, redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, the Prince of the Lives in his hand. Amen. A beautiful song to start the evening service. A reminder of our Savior, the mark that he will have when we see him face to face, the nail in his hand. Let's fall for prayer this time. Pastor Logan, can you lead us at this time in our prayers? Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. You may be seated. Let us continue good singing as we turn back again to our hymn books, to page number 366. The three verses on this song. We have been singing for a while, and it's a wonderful song. I belong to the King, I'm a child of His love, I shall dwell in His palace of prayer. For He tells of His bliss in the heaven above, and His children, His land thou shalt share. I belong to the King, I'm a child of His love, and He never forsaketh His own. He'll call me someday to His palace above. I shall dwell by His glorified throne. I belong to the King, and He loves, I know, for His mercy and kindness so free. And this rest in mind, wheresoever I go, and my refuge and faith is in. I belong to the King, I'm a child of His love, and He never forsaketh His own. He will call me someday to His palace above. I shall dwell by His glorified throne. I belong to the King, and His promise is sure that we shall be gathered at last. In His kingdom above, by His life was fulfilled. When His life did triumph and pass. I belong to the King, I'm a child of His love, and He never forsaketh His own. He will call me someday to His palace above. I shall dwell with His glorified throne. Amen. A beautiful song that reminds us of the promise that God made. Jesus said He was going to prepare a place. In His Father's house are many mansions. Let's pause for the announcements by Pastor Rice.
Amen. Good evening. How's everybody tonight as we worship the Lord this evening? And does anyone need a bulletin? Raise your hand. We'll be happy to get one to you. I want to welcome each one of our visitors. We want to welcome those viewing on the internet. Glad that you are here with us tonight. And we are thankful to God for His goodness to us and waking us up to see another day and carrying us through another week. And we are safely on the other side. At this time, we want to just mention some prayer requests. Continue to pray for the Good News Club converts, that they would grow in the Lord and that we'd see them out at church as well as at Vacation Bible Time. We always invite them to church. We always invite them to Vacation Bible Time. But we also need help on Thursday night. So if you can help us go and visit some of these contacts, that would be wonderful. And we can minister to them and just tell them we appreciate them coming. And we always have an open door at those homes because they always appreciate what we've done. So if you can help out this Thursday night, please let me know so I can give you a house or two. And then also, we praise the Lord, baby Grayson, who comes on Wednesday night. Praise the Lord that the baby is doing fine. His kidney function is fine. So we praise the Lord for that. And keep praying for these others. How's Justin's high blood pressure? About the same? Okay. So let's keep praying for Justin with his high blood pressure. Pray for Patty with her recovery. Pray for Ernie with his broken leg. Pray that he continues to get better. Then also continue to pray for Kenny. He'll find out the results of his appointment on Wednesday, so pray for him. Then on the right-hand page, next week is our Memorial Day Church picnic, so we look forward to having you come and bring a friend with you. Bring a few friends to come and celebrate Memorial Day. A lot of people don't have plans, and they'd love to hear of a place to go to have a good time, but more importantly, to hear about Jesus, and so that'd be wonderful for them. Then pray for the upcoming events as we get ready for the summer ministries as well. And this Tuesday morning, we'll be going out 10 a.m., meeting here at the church if you can make it out with us. Then Thursday night, visiting if you would like to come get some assignments, or just call me and I can give you the assignment over the phone. This time, we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings this evening. Is there any other announcements that need to be mentioned? Okay. And let us ask God to bless our finances of our church, that we can go forward for Him. And as we give to God, He will more than provide what we need, our needs, and He will supply them. Let us bow together in prayer. Amen.
Back again to a hymn books to page number 685. 685, a well-known hymn. We do sing this one quite often, but it's a wonderful one to sing before we have our testimonies. So how if I ask you to stand and sing louder, giving praises to the Lord? 685. We talk about a let's stand together as we sing 685.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where it shines, I want a gold one. Sing about the God of mansion, just over the hilltop, that bright land where we never grow. And someday yonder, we never more wander, but walk the streets that happy with gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, I'm like the prophet, my fellow stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know He will give me a mansion my own. I've got a mansion just over the hill now, and where we never grow. And someday yonder we never will wander, but walk the streets that happy with gold. Don't take me for a secret or lonely. I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. And just a pilgrim in search of a city, I'm on the mansion I have on the ground. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we never grow. And someday yonder we never will wander, but walk on streets that
amen. You may be seated, and I hope that you're looking forward to that mansion and it's in the sky, as I mentioned before, Jesus said he was going to prepare a place in heaven. His Father's house has many mansions. We never seen a mansion before. We think of some places we have seen that have a large building and call it a mansion. I don't think that can compare with the ones that God has in store for us. Now, we are open for testimonies at this time. Who would like to be forced to share a testimony, a blessing of the past day or throughout the past week? Anyone? Anyone? Listen, someone put a hand up or eye. You make a song. Or shall we sing some more? Okay, tell us something, lady. Holly? Lord, that's wonderful. It's great to read God's words. Your blessings that come from just reading the Word of God. Someone else with a blessing? Anyone else? From the past day or the past week? Oh, there's Pastor Rice. Tell us.
Yes, there was a blessing on Wednesday to go out with Wellington to Meadowview and just have the service there, and the people were very appreciative, and it was good to see Terry back out. Mm. Terry hasn't been out to church in about a month or so, and he's declining, but the Lord is
right.
So, he's ready to go home and be with the Lord, and he was listening during the song time, especially. I could just see him intently with his eyes open, just thinking about the words, and so you just never know what goes through people's minds that can't speak, that all that they're going through in life and the trials and difficulties is their body is getting worse and worse, but how that the song of the Lord just encouraged them. And just spiritually help them in a great way.
It's quite uplifting to be with saints when they are going through times of sickness and not knowing how long they will be before the Lord called them home, you know. And to hear the joys of the hymns that we sing and cheer up their hearts and give them joy of knowing that all the pains and aches and sickness that they go through here and out, that one day it will be all past. They'll have new bodies, no more pain. And like we just sang about the mansion, God will show us that mansion that he has for us. And I hope that you have a list of the mansion that God has for you in heaven. Someone else with a blessing? Anyone else? Go ahead. You have two hands, Mr. Dominic. I think you are ahead of my Mrs. Hodge. Tell us. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's wonderful news. It was a joy to see and hear someone who gets saved and know they're prepared. Getting saved is getting ready to be ready when Jesus comes or when he calls. That's the joy of being saved, that our lives are temporal. You know, we're only here for a limited time. And we don't know exactly the hour when it would happen. But we know if we are ready, when he comes, it doesn't make any difference, you know. We will be with the Lord, absent from the body and present with the Lord. This is hard. You guys are not.
Oh, I was just thinking it was the Lord that had this candle with us today, and my sister, that we all grew up together in the islands, went to the same church.
Right. Amen. It's always a great thing, serving the Lord. There's no loss serving the Lord. There's always blessings and comfort. And the joy of knowing that someday God will reward us for faithfulness. Being faithful in serving the Lord, reading His Word, giving out the tracks, sharing the witness with someone else. It's always a joy to share and meet the loved ones that we have worked and worshiped together many years. Holly, you have a song for us, huh? Okay, what's the name of the song?
Four
444. Start on the page 444 and see how What song we have on 444? 444. My sins are blotted out, I know. Sing just the first verse and chorus, and then we have took 9 minutes to take more testimonies and share more joy of knowing that the Lord is coming. So many things that are taking place across the world scene, and we know that these things are just reminders to each of us that time is getting shorter and shorter. We don't know the day or the hour, but it is getting shorter when Christ will come. Page number 444. First verse and chorus.
444?
Yeah, 444. Okay. Three fours. Let's sing it together. What a wondrous message in God's word. My sins are blotted out, I know. No sin is redeemed in blood. My sins are blotted out, I know. Sins are blotted out, I know, I know. Sins are blotted out, I know. They're buried in the depths of the deepest sea. My sins are blotted out, I know. Let's see if we have any other testimony, then we can sing another verse of this song. Anyone? I see any hands? Okay, let's sing another song, another verse of this song. Once my heart was black, but now that's joy. My sins are blotted out, I know. Now I have been destroyed. My sins are blotted out, I know. My sins are blotted out, I know. Sins are blotted out, I know. They're buried in the depths. My sins are blotted out, I know. Amen. Anyone else for a joy or blessings for the past week or day? Anyone else? Alright, Miss Patch, you had your hand up? Okay. What's the number? What is that number? 302? 303. Okay, let's go to 303. My goal is God's Himself. Anyone know that song? I don't. I'm not familiar with it. You know, familiar with it, Pastor Rice?
No.
Miss Gary? Pat? You want to try another number, Miss Pat? 292. Okay. Nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world, the elusive dream. I have renounced a sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. That His blood, that face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Jesus, again, let nothing be. Let's sing another verse, number 3. Nothing between life, trials, and station. Self-awareness of nothing between. Though it may cost me trim tribulation, I will resolve there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. so that His blessed praise may be seen. Nothing preventing the leaf of praise we walk. Keep the way clear, there's nothing between. Anyone else with a testimony before we talk on the service about Pastor Rice? Anyone? Okay, Pastor Rice, you are next.
Okay. All right, we do have a handout tonight as we look at encouraging in the Lord. It's just two pages. They're all divided already. So why don't we just put them all in? All right, let us turn to our Bibles tonight as we look into the Word of God. We're looking at the laws of the teacher and the learner from the Bible, how God helps us give insight into teaching others, that we all want to be better communicators, more effective teachers, and the Bible has much to say about that topic. The wealth of information of how to be an effective teacher and also an effective student of the Word. And so let us turn our Bibles to 2 Peter 3:18, and we're going to be going around to different verses, so keep your fingers nimble tonight. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. It was a blessing to have a visitor with us this morning, two visitors, one not living in the area and one living in the area. So pray for Robert that he'll come back with us, and it was a blessing to have him this morning. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, let us bow together in prayer as we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to come apart from the busy activities of the week and getting ready for another work week, another week of planning and working and serving you, Lord. Help us to learn tonight and grow from this time in your word, that we would hide it in our heart, that we would desire to be more effective communicators for your honor and glory of the word of God, because we know that there are many people that do not have a teacher and many people who don't know what direction to go in life. Lord, help us to be able to come alongside and teach them and disciple them, Lord, for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, let's read it together, says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Okay, so we're on page 45 of the laws of the teacher and the learner. Here we see that through discipleship we will relate information our disciple must learn. Okay, if you teach any type of class here at Northfield Baptist Church, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a junior church teacher, if you're a youth group teacher, if you're if you teach in vacation Bible time, if you teach on Wednesday night master clubs, that you are a teacher or you are an assistant teacher, and so we all need to relate information from the Word of God to impart truth to them, to the student, which whether they're 2 years old or sixth grade or a teenager or an adult, whatever age the student is, we must be able to relate information so that our disciple must learn. Okay, number one, the law of the teacher. An effective teacher always teaches from the overflow of a growing life. Let's go to 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. 1 Peter, right across from 2 Peter. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. Did you ever get to, how about in math? Did you ever get to a point where you just don't really want to learn math? Okay, anybody there? Okay, algebra is getting you down, or geometry, or maybe biology, or maybe some other type of, and you just feel like, I wish the teacher would just park for a little while and just, you know, so I can absorb all this. And well, the teacher has to keep going, but at the same time, the teacher also needs to keep learning. Okay, that teacher, they studied their whole life in that subject of science, and so they're able to impart those truths in science. That teacher at math, you know, they love math, and they have a propensity toward numbers and algebraic equations and the letter N and the letter S and what those values mean and putting them into the equation and then teaching that to students so that they can understand, grasp those principles, and then be able to use that in their life. Well, just like every teacher has their own area of expertise, so we as believers need to have our own area of expertise, which is the Word of God. We need to be students and continuing students of the Word of God. If you stop growing today, you stop teaching tomorrow. That's an interesting thing. That who's going to want to teach if they're not learning anything about that subject today? You know, and that's why you have burnout in teachers. Like if the teacher's been teaching the same subject for 40 years and they're just getting tired and they just, you know, it's just getting to be a drudgery and a boring thing. And you can tell when they get up, all they're doing is just reading their notes. And it's just, I've done this many days for many years. And they're just getting tired. Well, what has happened in that teacher's life? Did they stop becoming an expert on the subject, whatever they're teaching? What has happened to make them burned out as a teacher? Yes, Evan?
Maybe the students are not doing their work. Maybe they're cheating.
Okay, maybe they're frustrated with the students. Okay. However, that shouldn't necessarily affect their impartation of it. Yes. They stopped learning. They stopped caring about the subject that they're teaching. They're pulling out the same notes that they've always pulled out for the last 40 years. And you know what? You can tell. Why? Because do they have anything fresh for you? No. They're pulling those notes, and they're like pulling the notes apart. How many had a teacher like that? You could tell they had not done really anything with the subject for a long time. They don't have anything fresh to add. You know, they don't have an illustration from recent. They, you know, all their illustrations are 20, 30, 40 years ago. You know, that's what has happened to that teacher. That teacher cannot teach from the overflow anymore because they stopped growing in that area. And so now they're basically teaching on the reservoirs of what they've learned years ago, and it's not fresh anymore. It's not exciting, and it's not something they really want to be doing. So here we see if it works in the secular fields of teaching and the secular learning fields, it is very much applicable in the scriptures. That we, in order to be excited Christians, in order to be on fire for God Christians, in order to have a desire to want to teach, that's up to us. We control that. Because if you stop growing today, you'll stop teaching tomorrow. But teach from your growing life, it will be an automatic overflow. If you are growing in the Word of God, and if you're delighting in it, and if you're, you know, maybe you needed to take a recheck this morning and, you know, say, Lord, please help me to not be one of these. Help me to be this again. You know, maybe, you know, we need to recalibrate at times and get back into the Word of God. Well, yes, we need to do that from time to time, but we need to continue to be a wise learner and to continue to go to God every day. Lord, teach me your truth so I can be excited about it, so I can teach others from the overflow of a growing life. Ephesians 4:15, let's go over there. Ephesians 4 and verse 15. Ephesians 4 and verse 15. Okay, so even if you get into the teaching field, and let's say you're a teacher, continue learning about the subject. Continue finding new things out. Is there any field that stops growing and stops expanding in knowledge? Is there any field that really does that? You know, if they learn in math, all the math things have already been learned, and there's no modern applications of any of the algebraic math, so therefore the teacher just stops learning algebra. No, there's all kinds of new applications of the math principles that they're now putting into practice in building and structures and in how to do this certain type of thing and this science application and this over here. So there's always new applications of every truth that's out there. Why? Because God really made all truth. God made all the math formulas. God made all the calculus things and trigonometry equations and all the biology and all those things that the science fields. He made everything we have. So God is just wanting us to continue to learn and explore and be excited about what He has made. Okay, so here in Ephesians 4:15 it says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." So here we don't want to be henceforth children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. But we need to be speaking the truth in love and growing each day, that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So if we want to be an effective teacher, we've got to be a good student of the Word of God. And you know what? You just continue going to God each day, and He will continue teaching you new things, things you never saw before. You may study the same verse year after year, reading through your Bible year after year, and all of a sudden that verse has brand new meaning to you, brand new application. Why? What changed? It wasn't the verse. It's just that it's so deep. God's Word is alive and quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. So it's really us that need to just keep learning, and we will become excited about it. Okay, to be an effective teacher, you must know those to whom you wish to teach. The way your disciple learns will determine how you teach. Okay, so God has made us each different. Okay, God made Moses different than Aaron, and them two different than Joshua. Okay, so Joshua had a different learning style maybe than Moses and Aaron, and so all three of them had to teach, or Moses had to teach Aaron, and then Moses had to teach Joshua. Paul had to teach Timothy, but then he had to teach Titus too, and Titus was different than Timothy. Okay, Titus's gift was overseeing and managing. So Titus was a perfect for the job of going through the island of Crete in all the cities and setting up churches in every city. Why? Because he loved, you know, number one, he had a passion for God, but God used his management skills, his organization skills, his ruling skills to help set up those pastors in each city. And well, that's different than Timothy. Timothy was more of your typical learner and teacher, and so he had great pastoral skills and those kind of things. So everybody is different. So we've got to take everyone differently and teach them, you know, in your class, you know, vary things up a little bit. If you see that students are starting to tune out, starting to look out the window, say, "Okay, class, let's stand up for a second." Okay? And you stand them up, and then you say, "Now let's all go around the table. Name one thing you're thankful for this morning." And, you know, it's completely separate from the lesson, but you know what? It still applies to what you're learning. And it's a way to get them back in gear, get them recalibrated. And then you say, "Okay, let's sit down. And now as we thought about that, look at what Ruth is going through here. And how do you think this applies to our lives?" And ask questions. If you see them tuning out, start to ask questions. That'll help bring them in again. Okay, so the way your disciple learns will determine how you teach. Now we can't, you know, there's some who are hands-on learners, and they want everything hands-on. Well, you can't necessarily do every lesson a role play, and you do this, you do that. But there are ways that you can, do things like that. Okay, we're learning about soul winning this morning. Okay, well, we're going to go out. Come on out with me Thursday night, and we'll go out soul winning, and I'll teach you how to do it. Okay, and so there are ways that you can apply those for the hands-on learners, etc. Okay. The law of activity. Your responsibility as a teacher is not merely to convince them, but help them to change. So we may have won the argument, but we may have lost the battle because it's still not convincing them to change. So we've got to remember, learning has not taken place until it is seen in their activity. Okay, that we may say, okay, I need you to learn how to pray. I want you to learn how to pray. And so for 5 weeks in a row, we teach our students, the young people, how to pray. And at the end of 5 weeks, we say, okay, you guys all know how to pray now, so let's move on. But if we have not seen them pray and do it effectively and do it biblically, then guess what? We haven't really... No, we don't really know if we've taught them anything. Okay, so it's important to see it in their activity. And sometimes we say the same thing many times. You know, so, we may harp on one thing. Okay, I really want you to do this, students. I really want you to do that, students. And we're really harping on this one thing, and they're not doing it. Why aren't you doing this, students? Why aren't you doing that, students? Come on, we need you to. And you keep we keep harping on that. Well, we need to sit back and say, okay, why are they not doing this? Okay, maybe I can help equip them to do this. Personal interest means a lot. When someone said, you know, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Okay, so we've got to take personal interest. Say, hey, listen, why aren't you doing what I'm saying here from the Word of God? You know, this principle I'm trying to teach you. Why aren't you doing it? Well, I just forget. Or let me see. How about I text you this week? I can send you a text. I can send it to your mom and remind you about this. How's that sound? Okay. All right. So we might have to do something out of the box. We might have to do something out of the usual norm. But why? So that we can help our students learn. And taking that personal interest in them means a lot. When they know it's not just saying it on Sunday or Wednesday night, but that we're actually thinking of them during the week, that really means a lot. And so let us do that. Let's be effective teachers. Okay, the law of communication, number 4. Let's go to the back page. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7. How many think God may be calling you to be a teacher? Maybe a public school teacher, a Christian school teacher, or a teacher of something you like to teach. Anyone like that? Or you just don't know yet. Okay. All right. So you don't have to be a teacher or even gifted to be a teacher to be an effective teacher. You know, out of the 7 spiritual gifts, you know, teaching is one of them, and I don't really like to research. I don't really like to prepare a lesson. I don't really like to, you know, teach, so I must not be a teacher. No, you're gonna be a great teacher. You're just going to come at it from a different way. You're going to come at it from an exhorter standpoint or from a prophecy standpoint of just speaking forth the truth, or you're going to come at it from a serving standpoint. You want to serve, and you want them to learn how to serve God. Or you come about it from a mercy standpoint that we love God so much because He first loved us, so I'm going to love my students. I'm going to teach them how to love God. Or you might come at it from a giving standpoint. You know, your spiritual give is giving, and I love my students so much, and I'm going to give to them, and so I want them to learn how to give to God, how to be just learners from God. And so we all come about it from different ways depending on what our spiritual gift is. But so you don't have to be necessarily a teacher by profession to be an effective teacher in church. Okay? That we all are going to have different areas we're going to be able to come about this. To impart the law of communication, number 4, to impart information, you must be able to communicate properly. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7. And these words, verse 6, Deuteronomy 6, 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and thou, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. How important is God's Word to us? It's so important that we need to always have it put before us. We need to teach others what we are learning ourselves each day. It's always got to be in front of us, you know? The TV is not the first thing that we should be always having in front of us. The Bible is the first thing we should always be having in front of us. The internet or the cell phone is not the thing that we need to be investing our time in. Our first thing is the Word of God each day. And that will change our life. Verse 5, it'll change our heart. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. That will come. Love for God will come when the Bible is always before us. To impart information, you must be able to communicate properly. You become the bridge whereby truth is passed on. Okay, so God can use our different spiritual gifting and the way that we're wired to be able to communicate effectively. Okay, the Word of God has to come be taught to the student. So how does the Word of God get to the student? Okay, Holly, come on up here. We'll use something for our visual learners. They like visual things, okay? There's visual learners, there's tactile learners, which like to touch things. Then there's the busy learners, they like to actually do it. And then there's the traditional learners that are auditory. They listen and they can get it. Okay, so how am I going to teach Holly what she needs to know in her Christian life? Okay, Holly, you go right over here, okay? Holly is my daughter, so I need to teach her, and the Word of God is right here, okay? The Word of God is there. How's Holly, before Holly's even able to read, how's she going to be able to know what God's Word says? What's that? She'll hear it, okay? She needs someone to be able to teach it to her. Okay, the Word of God, here's the formula, is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God into the Christian's life, the discipler, and then the Holy Spirit then uses the words of the discipler, taking the Word of God, the principles, into Holly's life. Okay, so I can get up in the morning and say, Holly, let's turn to our Bible, Holly, and I'm going to teach you that you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Okay, that means you've got to spend every waking hour, you should be thinking upon God. Doesn't mean you're always praying or you're always reading the Bible, but you should be having a thought life that's wanting God, right? Do you want that in your life, Holly? Okay. All right. So let's have family devotions. As we have family devotions, you think about that, and how can you show God you love Him today? How can you show Him that He's on your mind all through the day, even while you're doing your schoolwork, even while you're eating lunch, and maybe having recess, and then the other things, the chores you have to do? Well, how can you show God that you love Him all through all this busyness of life? Okay, read the Bible, good. And what can you do when you're doing those things? You can pray, very good. Excellent application. You can pray and thank Him, right? Thank Him for what He's doing. Very good, Holly, you can have a seat.
Good. So she made the application. The light bulb came on. Why? Because someone was giving her a principle. Okay, so that's what we need. That people need the principles from the Word of God, and they need a teacher. And what a blessing when we become that bridge whereby truth is passed on. God wants to use each one of us here tonight as a bridge for someone to get God's truth. The Holy Spirit can't just, you know, take a Bible and bring it over to someone and drop it in their lap and say, okay, read. No, the Holy Spirit depends on us to be the communicator to take that truth. Okay, so kids, let's apply this. Tomorrow at school, what can you do to teach someone something God wants them to learn? What can you do for your friends at school? Holly? Good. Tell them about Jesus, Messiah. Good. Bring your Bible and your book bag, okay? Take a gospel tract and say, hey, you know, I have something for you to read. This is the good news of how Jesus died for your sins according to the Scriptures. And here, read this. And this is so important. And let me tell you, and hey, Wednesday night, if you want, we can, I want to invite you to my church. So come on out. Okay, so there's many ways that the Lord can use us to communicate. Okay, so letter C, make sure you let them communicate back to you so you know they are receiving what you are teaching. Okay, it's good to, that's why it's good to ask questions. If we just do the 45 minutes of communication during the Sunday school hour, and we don't really ask them, okay, now, what do you think about this? We don't really know if they're learning or not. So it's good to have some kind of interaction, and at the end even, some questions to see if they are learning. At the Good News Club, we teach a lesson, a Bible lesson, and then the next week we ask questions about that Bible lesson. We ask questions. We say, okay, now last week's lesson on the story we had was Naaman's leprosy. Now remember Naaman, what was Naaman's problem? What problem did he have in life? Okay, what was his problem? He had, number one, he had two problems. The first problem was a physical problem. What was his physical problem? Leprosy, good. What was his spiritual problem? Good. Thinking of himself too highly than he ought to think. He didn't see himself through God's lens of the scriptures. Okay, so we asked the students these questions, and you know what? Most of the time, they were right in there learning. Even the ones who were brand new Christians were staying right with it and answering the questions. So that's a good way to see if your students are learning, whether it be in your Sunday school class, your junior church class, or your Wednesday night class, or the teen class. It's good to ask questions to see what they're learning, or have them present, like Wednesday night. A lot of times we'll have them present some things that they learned. That's helpful. It helps reinforce what they are learning. Then number five, the law of the heart. Let's go to Joshua 22 and verse 5. Joshua 22 and verse 5. We're learning how to be more effective disciples, teachers for the Lord. Joshua 22, verse 5. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Boy, there's a lot of things in here. But here we see the student, Joshua, as he's passing on, he's older now, and he says, hey, I'm going to be going into glory soon. But before I go, make sure you take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses charged us to walk in all the ways of the Lord. So here, the law of the heart, your task is not passing information from head to head, but relating truth from heart to heart. That here we see that when Israel was going well in their spiritual journey, as they were following the Lord, following Moses, then following Joshua, and then after Joshua, then it kind of all fell apart when they just started doing every man doing that which was right in his own eyes. Okay? What happened there? Under Moses and under Joshua, they were consistently reminded of the heart principles. Love the Lord your God. Here's the commandments. Obey the commandments. Do them not out of necessity, although you better do them out of necessity, because if you start picking up sticks on the Sabbath, you know, you're going to, the Lord will have to judge you, you know. But let it be first coming from your heart, affecting your head, not the opposite, the head to the heart. And so we see that, sure enough, they did well when their heart was with the Lord. But then when their heart wasn't in it anymore for the Lord, they did every man that which was right in their own eyes. They still had some kind of worship. If you look at Judges, the end of Judges, it's kind of sad to see Judges 22 and 21 and 19 and all that. They still had rituals of worship. They went to the... they still wanted an ephod, and this one tribe paid, one man out of this tribe paid for him to have his own personal priest and all this. So they still had a form of worship. They still retained some of the head knowledge about worshiping God, but their heart was so far from God because they were in rebellion. Okay, so here we see, page 47 is where we are, page 47. Our desire is to see a change of heart. Truth that excites you may change them. Truth that excites you may change them. Let's go to Deuteronomy 30 and verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 6. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 6. It says, "And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live." Verse 17. "But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it." Okay, any one of us can be put on the shelf by God. You realize that? There is a definite fear of the Lord that we should have in our lives. Even the Apostle Paul said it. He said, what did he say about being put on the shelf? Does anybody remember the terminology he used? Here he was, a preacher of the gospel, an apostle, a great missionary, a great church planter, but yet he even had a fear that he should step out, if he would live it for his flesh, that he would step out of the will of God and become a what? A castaway, good. Literally that word means exactly what it says, cast away. Literally God would have to cast him away from the ministry and have to bring somebody else in to do the job. Why? Because if he would let his heart go astray from God, let his flesh take over. Okay, so this is a very real danger for any Christian. None of us are immune to being our heart being pulled away from God. So how do we get to the heart? How do we teach our students to love God from the heart? Number one, teach truth. Teach God's truth. Teach them. Hey, love your Bible. Love your Bible so much that you want to read it every day. If we ask the students, where's your Bible tonight? Where's your personal Bible? This is the one I read for my devotions each day at the house. And where's your Bible? Could you say, I know exactly where it is. Well, have you read it recently? No, but that's why I come to church. No, don't come to church to have the Bible read. Read it daily for yourself. Love it. And that way the Lord will be able to communicate to you through it. Number two, pray for them continually. Okay, how do you get to the heart of your students? Pray for them. You'll develop more of a heart for your students the more you pray for them. Please, Lord, help so-and-so. I know they want to do right, but they're having some troubles right now, and I pray that you just help them to obey your word and just help them to get through this difficulty in their life. You know, and the more we pray for our students, the more they will, that will change things in their lives. And then number three, challenge them. Challenge them. Say, hey, how are you doing? Hey, I missed you at this service. Hey, how's it going in your life? You know, I want to know how you're doing. And out of love and genuine compassion, not as a I caught you kind of thing, but out of love and because you're praying for them. Number six, the law of encouragement. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy 1:38. I did a little study. Where's the word encouragement in the Bible? Deuteronomy 1:38. Actually, it's in the Old Testament quite a few times. Deuteronomy, and then in the New Testament, the word is exhortation. Okay, Deuteronomy 1 and verse 38. Deuteronomy 1 and verse 38, it says, "But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it." Let's go to Deuteronomy 3 and verse 28. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. So part of Moses' job as being a leader in Israel was to encourage Joshua. Hey, Moses, teach Joshua, but you also need to encourage him. He's young. He's younger than you. And he might have some fears. He might say, oh, Moses is Moses and I'm Joshua. You know, who am I to stand in Moses' shoes? I can't do that. And so he needed encouragement. And so God continually reminded Moses to encourage Joshua. 2 Samuel 11:25. Let's go over there. 2 Samuel 11:25. It says, Then David said unto the messenger, Thus shalt thou say unto Joab, Let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou him. Okay, so here, David's covering up for his sin, but yet, we see this principle from a king to a general, okay? That this was a sinful time. However, he had to do it many times in his life to his general, Joab. Okay, keep on going for God. Do this, do that, and he would encourage him. And so this is part of the Christian life. If we are going to be an effective teacher, we need to learn how to encourage our students and not just challenge them, or not just reprove them, but also encourage. Oh, great job in this area. You did a great job. Hey, great job over here, Joshua. You're doing great. You and her did a great job holding my arms up. I really see what the Lord is doing in your life. And so Moses had to do a lot of encouragement before Joshua could step in. Okay, and that's what we need to do for our students. We need to encourage them in the things they are doing well. We as humans, we tend to be complainers. Okay, in the flesh, we will be complainers, and so we will. If we're in the flesh, we'll see all the things that aren't going right in our life. Oh, I can't believe I don't have this. And, oh, this is not going. Oh, and the doctor said this, and we can complain. But that's not what we see in the Bible. The Bible, God takes the complainers and he makes them worshipers. He makes them praising God and thanking God for what he's doing, but also then teaching the truths of God's word. And so the minor prophets had much to praise God for, even amidst the judgment that God was bringing. They were praising God and looking to the future when God would right all wrongs. And so we need to learn from this, that we need to learn encouragement. That let's not complain about all the things our students are not doing. Let's focus on what students are doing well and compliment them on it and encourage them in it. And then you know what? You'll see more of those things that are not going right. We'll see more of them starting to go the right way. Why? Because we're encouraging. They see, hey, they're noticing what I am doing for God. They're noticing this, and so they're going to be encouraged. They need to see the benefit of truth in their life. Letter C, they need to be challenged by you to change. Letter D, they must be encouraged to continue to reap the benefits. That the teacher stays with them in the good times and the bad times. And says, hey, you know what? You know, you weren't very good today in class, and you know, I had to reprimand you. And you're in trouble. And there has to be times like that. There has to be those times where they're corrected and reproved and rebuked. So that they can change. But then there also has to be the other times. Hey, good job today. I noticed someone was wanting to talk to you and you didn't do that. You didn't give in to the pressure. Good job. So we need to do both. Not just come down on them for what they're not doing, but encourage them for what they are doing. Number 7, the law of readiness. Let's go to Acts 17 and verse 11. Acts 17 and verse 11. Acts Acts 17 and verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Here we see, why were the Bereans more successful than the Thessalonican Christians? Why? Because they studied, right? They actually wanted, Paul, we're not just going to believe you for what you say. I want to see chapter and verse for this. Show me chapter and verse. Show me where that's found. As we looked at this morning in Proverbs 1, God wants us to be taking reproofs from the Word of God every day as the ways of life. The reproofs are the way of life. That literally, if we want to stay away from sin, we're going to listen to God's reproofs every day. We have to have a testing mindset. That, Lord, you're reproving me here. I need to obey. The world is not going to reprove us very much at all. The world, the only things they may reprove us in is if we're not going their direction. But they won't reprove us in much of anything. So we've got to have a testing mindset, as it says there in Proverbs 1, that we're going to test everything against the Word of God. Well, here, the Bereans were more noble than Thessalonians in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind. They prepared their minds with readiness. They said, not only are we going to listen to the Word, but we're going to be ready to hear the Word. Lord, please help me as I read your Word today. Illuminate me through your Holy Spirit. Show me what you want me to learn. They were excited about truth. Now, that would be great if we had a class that was all a bunch of ready learners every single week. You know, that would be ideal. It's not always the case. But here, we should be ready teachers. Okay? The learning process will be the most effective when discipler and disciple are prepared. Okay? This whole idea... Our flesh, if your lesson isn't, you know, if you haven't looked over your lesson, boy, it's Sunday tomorrow and I've got a lesson and I'll just wing it, you know, I'll come up with something, you know. That whole idea of just hoping the Lord will give you some kind of inspiration a minute or two before class, that's got to go out the window. That whole lack of preparation will kill your students' desire to learn. Because they will see, it must not be too important to Miss So-and-so, or it must not be so important to Mr. So-and-so, because they don't got much. I see them just with their nose in a book, that's it. Guess what? Then they're not going to be ready to learn, because they're just going to say, it's not important to them. And so we've got to be prepared for each lesson. We've got to be prepared when we teach. We don't teach when unprepared, okay? Now, it doesn't mean you call the pastor Sunday morning, I didn't have time to prepare this week, so I'm canceling. No, that's not the solution either. But the solution is work during the beginning of the week for the next Sunday. Okay? Start learning, praying on Monday morning. You know, Lord, we had a great class yesterday, and I praise you for that, but I know there's another class coming this week. And Lord, help me to glean from your word and from this lesson and that I can teach it effectively. And so we need to be prepared for each lesson. Don't advance until they are prepared, okay? Now, we can't always help the students, but we can help ourselves. Then the conclusion, your model and teaching are the key to their changing. Luke 6:40. Let's read it together. Luke 6:40. The disciple is not above his master. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Okay, so here Jesus tells us that hey, if we want to be a good teacher or master, only Jesus is the master. But if we want to be a good teacher, we need to be as Jesus was. He was a very effective communicator. Why? Because he loved his pupils. He was diligent. He did all the things that we as teachers should do. So let us ask God for that measure of his help this week as we prepare. And if you're burnt out, don't say, Lord, help me. I don't want to be burnt out anymore. I want to be an active learner again. Get back into the learning process. Get excited about the Lord and His Word, and you'll find He'll give you a burning fire to teach His Word. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time tonight to be reminded of these great truths from the Bible, how we all need to be capable and able ministers of the Word, teachers of the Word. Lord, we thank You that You have given us this ministry of the New Covenant, of the New Testament, teaching it to others so that they too can be free from their sin and that they can grow and learn all things whatsoever Thou hast commanded us. Lord, we pray that You would help us this week, that we would desire to teach someone, even for these young people here in school, that they would teach someone, their friend, their classmate, their neighbor, their family member, that they would desire to teach someone a nugget of Your truth, whether it be a gospel nugget or a biblical nugget or an invitation to church, and that they would impart some kind of truth from Your Word that they can give to someone else so that someone can see that they care about them and, most importantly, that God cares about their soul. Lord, we pray You'd help us to impart truth this week, to be excited learners of Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to our hymn book as we close tonight. Hymn number 293, O Lord, Send a Revival. 293, let's all stand together as we sing this song. If you need to come for any reason, would you come? Maybe you'd just like to sit right there in your seat. Just pray to the Lord, Lord, help me to be a student of Your Word. Help me to love You with all my heart. 293, let's all stand together as we sing.
Bible study, as we break up into our groups and teach the young ones how to pray, and there's just so many truths that we can pass on as disciples and then learn on Wednesday nights as well. So let us be involved in the active ministries of our church, and we have John Watkins with us tonight. And John, would you close us in prayer?
Sure. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you and praise you for the time of fellowship and fellowship now to open up your word so freely in this country. We're grateful that you've given us your word so we can study it and learn your ways and teach us how we are to live, Lord, how to interact with one another, how we can view different things that come across our lives, Lord. What is our reaction to it? May that your word is true and pure and perfect, Lord. We're grateful for that. We ask that you be with each of us tonight as we far our ways, Lord. Bring us back if we can to fellowship and Bible study. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We have that Equality Act information, so if you want more information about that, to send to your congressman or congresswoman, that is back here on the table.